Welcome to episode 37 of Chimp Out Radio. I am your host, Mr. DJ Stupnik. With me, as always, my esteemed co-host, Birdman!
Hey, how y'all doing?
You sound like you're living in Texas.
Yeah, I wish I was living in Texas. Maybe I had a job, but we'll get to that later. But
yeah, 37 shows.
It's unbelievable.
I know, it's great. And do you know, I was looking at our most recent numbers, and we've hit over 4,000 plays last month.
Wow, that's cool.
I know.
Fun listening, folks.
So who's with us tonight?
It is American Apartheid, a newer member here on Chimp Out.
And we get a surprise visit from an Afrikaner. Your friend and mine, Evil Hobo, is with us tonight.
And tonight we have more love letters, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
The watermelon episode of Chimp Out Radio starts now.
Watermelon nights are calling just as soon as I start calling. Watermelon nights will be here to sing along.
Okay, DJ, how's the tour going so far? And tell the champions what's going on with your little escapade around the country.
Longtime listeners of Chimp Out Radio might remember Joseph the Non-Champion, who was on episode 27. Joseph is a real-life friend of mine, and he's a consultant, and he happened to find a really kick-ass job for me in Texas, of all places. So I interviewed for it last week, I got the job, and I now reside as a Texan in the city of Houston.
That's pretty amazing, man. You went from southern Michigan, which has nothing, literally nothing.
Yeah.
And you, as soon as you show up in Texas, you have a job. Just goes to show you how much better it is in Texas than the rest of the country.
Oh, everything's different down here. It's warm down here. The people are happy and friendly. And the unemployment in Michigan was around 16%. Down here in the city of Houston, it's right around 6 or 7%.
That's amazing.
It is. I love it here.
Texas is a right-to-work state, too, and the right-to-work states are doing a lot better than the non-right-to-work states.
Yeah.
Michigan and Pennsylvania, sorry.
Yep, good old Republican, conservative. It's actually a republic. It's the Republic of Texas. It's almost like its own country down here.
Yeah, don't they have, like, the fifth or sixth largest economy by themselves in the world?
I wouldn't doubt it. I know that The city of Houston is right now rated the fourth largest city in America, but they're telling me that once the new census numbers come out, it's going to overtake Chicago and become number three.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and there's over 400 families a day move to Houston because it's so great down here.
Yeah, there's jobs down there. I mean, there isn't jobs anywhere else. I mean, there's jobs in Colorado, I think, in a couple other states, but, you know, we're pretty bad off here in the states, and, you know, it's... That's why everybody's moving south, because there's jobs down there, and up north there's just niggers.
That's true, niggers and snow.
Niggers, snow, and no jobs.
But you know what's crazy down here is that, you know, in Michigan, everything's bad. Everything's dirty. There's just everybody's got gloom on their face. And, you know, you come down here, everybody's smiling and happy and prosperous. And, you know, the businesses are clean. The streets are clean. There's no graffiti anywhere. And, you know, like there's no burned out lights and the neon signs. You know, everything is kept up and everything looks great. It's like stepping back in time about 10 years.
Sounds awesome.
It is. So what is this news story you have?
Oh, man. More TNB. Teenaper murders another nigger for his customized ride. Hosted by Chicago Avenger.
Well, he finds some good ones.
Yeah, 16-year-old Teenaper faces 2 decades in prison in the slaying of Johnny Boyd. This comes out.
Oh, wait. Guess who just logged on? Evil Hobo.
Ah,
you know, Bivak Boer?
Did he change his name again?
Or yeah, he changed that a long time ago.
He's out of South Africa. It'd be good to get him on.
No, he moved.
Where is he at now?
Scotland, I think. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, hello. How are you doing, guys?
Awesome. Yeah, I just saw you log on. I want to give a chance to just to say hi. We are working on an episode right now.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so tell us. I mean, you must have an amazing story to tell. You were living in South Africa, and then you sort of fell off the face of the earth, and now you're in Scotland. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I left South Africa a couple of months ago, and here I am. The situation there has just gotten, like, really out of control. It's just time for me to leave and, you know, try and get stable here and, you know, bring some of my family over here and just get my family safe. You know, that's the main thing.
The monkeys down there are really chimping out, you know, ever since Mandela took over. It's like the monkeys got even bigger sense of entitlement, and any white person left in South Africa is truly not safe.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, at the moment, we've got our ANC Youth League president, Julius Malema. He's singing songs about killing whites. They're all rapists and whatnot. So, you know, it's in the process. Honestly, South Africa is on the brink of a civil war.
I bet. It has to be pretty bad.
Now, are there parts of your country that aren't like that?
Well, there's different parts of the country that almost like different worlds. Like, for example, Cape Town and that area, it's almost like being in the UK. Everything is modern. There's hardly any crime. You know, you see police everywhere. They're keeping the place safe. And then, where I was staying near Johannesburg, it was basically a war zone, you know. I think last year we had one of our Johannesburg doctors go to a Canadian doctor's meeting, and he just, you know, at these meetings they show like different cases and that, and this doctor showed his, you know, all his surgery cases and that, and most of the other doctors at the conference thought that South Africa was actually going through a war because of the serious kind of injuries that the people were sustaining.
And these were injuries just from random crime or race-based crime?
Yeah, mostly I'd say pretty much both of them, actually. You know, the race-based crime is just as high as your everyday crime, where you got your average thief just shooting someone for a bit of money, you know, to get alcohol or drugs, you know. It's gone bad. And, you know, with the race-based crimes, I think those are the most horrific. I mean, I've just heard stories and seen a few photos. They basically cut the whites up with axes and machetes, and they burn babies alive. They basically torture the pensioners. It's basically, you know, it's just, in my eyes, it's called terrorism.
Op een berg in die nacht, lee ons een donkere wacht. In die modder en bloed lee ek koud. Streepsak en reen kleef teen my en my huis en my plaas tot koole verbrand sodat hulle ons kan vang, maar die vlamme en vuur brand nou diep, diep binne my. De la rei, de la rei, sal jy die boere kom lei, de la rei, de la rei. Generaal, generaal, soos een man sal ons om jou val, generaal de la rei. Oor die kakies wat lag, een handkie van ons, teen die hele groot macht. En die kraanse le hier teen ons rug, hulle dinkt is verby. Maar die hart van een boer, le dieper en weier, hulle gaan het nog sien. Op een ver kom hy aan, die leeuw van die Wes-Transvaal. De la rei, de la rei, sal jy die boere kom lei, de la rei, de la rei. Generaal, generaal, soos een man sal ons om jou val, generaal, de la rei. De la rei, de la
my vrou en my kind lê in 'n kamp en vergaan. En die kaakies se mag loop oor 'n nasie wat weer op sal staan.
Now, is it difficult for a white person in South Africa to own a firearm legally?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I've tried applying. The first stage of the course, you just do your basic course for firearms. You have to learn how to clean the firearm and whatnot. The second stage is actually applying with that course at the police station and getting your firearm license. And you've got to go through interviews, interview your family. And most of my friends, it's taken about 6 years to actually get a firearm,
really
for the license to be processed and make it impossible.
Now, how difficult is it for a South African to obtain an exit visa?
Exit visa? Well, it honestly depends on which country they want to go to. I mean, from what I know, they are quite expensive, like in the regions of like 25,000 rand for a visa to go to the States. Mm-hmm. So I'm not actually too sure of the figure, but the last time I checked, it was about like $2,500, like to the equivalent.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you are truly a refugee here. I mean, they talk all the time about the Somalian refugees and the Haitian refugees. What about the whites in South Africa who are running for their lives from these evil fucking monkeys that just cause nothing but death and destruction? What about those refugees? You don't hear Bono and all those idiot asshole Hollywood celebrities talking about white refugees. No, it's always nigger refugees. So we got to feel sorry for the niggers. We got to help the niggers. It's truly disgusting, really.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, for me, I do see myself as a refugee. When I first arrived here, and people would ask me, why did you leave South Africa? And I'll tell them about the crime and the farm attacks and our racist government that basically hates whites and openly hates whites. They think I'm lying. They label me a liar and say, no, that's not true. The world, we would never let that happen.
The world is
not a nice place, yeah.
The world caused it to happen, actually.
Yeah.
So here's something I've always wondered about South Africa. I mean, how does the media handle all of this crime and destruction? I mean, do they try to put a happy liberal face on it? Do they try to spin it, or what are they? What is it like?
Well, I think most of the South Africans, including myself, we just kind of got used to seeing the same headlines every night. Three shots in the home for like a mobile phone. We just get used to it, you know. And for some reason, I don't know why those type of headlines aren't reaching the international world, because if I search for South African news, like on the UK news websites, there's nothing. It's just the normal thing of, oh, the economy is improving and You know, one of our CAFA presidents is just, you know, he's just been released from jail or had like rape charges dropped against him. There's nothing of the actual real truth of the violence, the full scale of war that's going on there.
Right. Now, what would you say the ratio of non-whites to whites is in South Africa?
Well, see, the government stats, they basically say that is the total population is around about 59 million people living there, although it's much more because of all the illegal immigrants. That's government stats for you. You just know that they aren't true. It's bullshit. And I think there's about 5 million whites that they say were living in South Africa. In my opinion, I think that number is just much less, probably around about, I'd say, between 3 and 4 million whites left in South Africa. And most of them at the moment are currently really suffering with the recession because we've still got our policies of black empowerment in South Africa, which is quite strange because it's a minority policy and it's going to the majority, all these CAFAs. So for me, I could not find a job. I was working, I think I had a job for 1 month and then I was fired. And basically one of the staff members, the black guy, a CAFA, a nigger, said to me, if I give him one more warning at work, he's going to bring his gun and kill me. So I thought,
what?
Okay, yeah, he actually threatened me. Now, for me, because I wasn't an armed response squad at the time, was doing security, he had a firearm, but I didn't.
Right.
So he has, and I said to my boss, I said, I want a bulletproof vest and a firearm to protect myself. He said, no, you won't get one yet. And I was, me, out of all the white guys, there was no whites that had firearms in that company. They gave us paintball guns. Can you believe that?
They gave you what?
Paintball guns, like paintball markers.
Paintball guns instead of firearms?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, a lot of damage that's going to do.
So eventually I refused, but that, you know, applying for jobs as Africa for a white is extremely frustrating and difficult because you just get tossed around. As soon as they see on your application that you want, they basically just toss your application and, you know, you never get replies, you fail interviews because, you know, if there's at least one nigger in the room as well, he's the one who's going to have the job. So there's no point even looking for jobs at the moment.
Okay.
At least if you've got family, your own business, you know.
Right. Now, can you tell the champions how the system of apartheid came to be in the first place?
Okay, well, basically just from my research that I've done, apart from what's mainly on, you know, shit like Wikipedia and that, what actually happened was it was the British government who started apartheid in South Africa. So it was many, many years back when, after the Boer War and the Brits were still ruling the country, they first implemented apartheid into South Africa, and then when they handed over the government back to the Afrikaners, we just carried it on. But there was no difference, you know, if I say to the way that blacks are living now in South Africa, the only thing that's changed, okay, they're still black and they're still as stupid as ever anyway. So none of them have jobs, none of them have houses. They're living basically like kaffirs, like niggers, like animals. And they still blame apartheid for that. Although in apartheid days, everyone had a house, everyone had education, everyone had a job. The country was stable. It was like a perfect world. And the whole story was twisted around by the ANC, and they made it like they were living in like Auschwitz, like camps. You know, that's not the case. They lived in a lack of luxury.
Wow.
Even Hollywood released a movie last year praising Mandela as the greatest thing to ever happen to South Africa. It was about the South African football team, and it was a big kiss-ass fest for Nelson Mandela. And this is the way people around the world think of South Africa. They think it's such a great and wonderful place now that the niggers have taken over.
Yeah, that's what they think. And I can tell you, with this World Cup coming up, I think it's just around about 100 days or less away from happening. The world will see the true South Africa, because that type of violence and the type of conditions that we live in, that type of thing, you can't hide with fancy tourist boards and soccer jerseys. You can't hide it. I reckon that there'll be thousands of murders of the tourists and muggings they're going to see the real South Africa when the World Cup happens.
Wow.
That's just the liberals for you. They put a happy face on something that's downright horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're in Scotland now, is that right?
Yeah, Scotland. Very, very cold. And yes, it's a very different place. I tell you, I mean, I haven't seen a nigger in about 3 weeks. And I'm in like a shock. You know, I feel shell-shocked from it.
I'm actually on the road. I moved out of Michigan. I'm living in Texas now, and I'm in a hotel, and so we're trying to keep the show going, but we're experimenting with some new things here.
Yeah, I guess you and Bivok there have something in common. You fled a nigger-fuxated area for a better area.
That's right. Hey,
that's
DJ, you left southern Michigan, and Evil Hobo left South Africa. Hey, you guys got a lot in common there. you both couldn't find a job either.
We're both refugees.
Your nigglets who are probably abandoned. Honey, it don't make no difference to me, baby. Every nigglet looks identical to me. Say you don't have to live like a chimpanzee. Don't have to live like a chimpanzee. I said you don't have to live like a chimpanzee. Baby, you ain't the first. I seen a couple other humans giving birth. Right now, this seems real to you, but your little shitlets, we should flush down the sewer. Maybe a nigger tied you up, took you away, and held you for ransom. But it don't really matter to me, 'cause every nigger is extremely ugly. Say you don't have to live like a chimpanzee. You don't have to live like a chimpanzee. No, you don't have to live like a chimpanzee.
Don't have to live like a chimpanzee. That's the chimpout.com orchestra helping us out tonight with the songs Nigger Eyes. And you know, since I'm here in Houston, I'm going to go visit my new friend, Mr. American Apartheid. And rumor has it he has a couple of wild raccoons that live in his backyard. Probably the only kind of coons this guy can take. Of American Apartheid, and we're gonna knock on the door and see who's home. Hello,
Deej.
Hey, nice
hey,
to
how
meet
you, doing,
you.
Man?
All right, good
hey,
to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'm glad I found your place.
Yeah, same, dude.
Took me a while, but I made it.
Anyway, it's family owned.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's
Wow, what a cool room.
Yeah, like I said, there's not much to it, but that's the backyard. Let's see, I got a cat back here right now.
Oh, sweet, I love animals.
Yeah, where are you? Come here, you little bastard. Oh, there she is.
Oh, what a cutie. What's her name?
That is Bad Cat. Because she's so cranky.
She's an outdoor cat, or?
Yeah, she's outdoor. The coons, the good ones, live in there. And they come out at night, though, and I give them food. They crawl on me. Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like you have a... What is this right here?
That's a spa that I never use. This, and I don't even... Honestly, I don't know if it even works.
I'll bet it does.
It might. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. Wow, that's huge. That's like a... What, a six-person spa or something?
Yeah.
What a cool setup. And folks, we're in the backyard here, and this is like this huge screened-in porch with a ceiling fan and, you know, got electricity out here. It's mosquito-free. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. I enjoy it.
You got a waterfall here going into a pond. You should fix this up and put some fish in there. Oh, your cat would probably get them, though. Or the coons. Wow, what a cool backyard.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, it's awesome. What do you mean it's not bad? It's fantastic. This is an awesome thing. Ah. Very neat. And this house, I'm guessing, was built probably in the 1950s?
60s.
60s?
60s.
Okay.
This is my buddy.
And his name is?
He doesn't have a name.
Okay.
But I'm sure we can think of plenty of creative names for him.
Yeah, he's a stuffed gorilla. And how long have you had him?
I got this for my mother as a joke present for her birthday about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And now it's just a giant gorilla. You know, if we ever start doing video shows, we could probably use this as some kind of prop.
That could be the Obama doll.
Gives me that.
Right.
Gives me that.
That's pretty scary looking, because it looks kind of real in a way. I mean, it's got that same soulless look in its face that a nigger has. Look at those eyes.
Yeah, just kind of like that blank sort of, I don't even know what I'm doing kind of stare.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where am I?
It's got that I didn't do nothings look, too.
Yeah. And if you hold his paw out like this, he does the gives me that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Gives me that.
Just like a real nigger. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, I don't...
Okay.
Old family pictures.
Family pictures. Okay, and this is American apartheid as a child here.
This is all. This is me.
Okay. Yeah.
That picture is when I was going through my skater phase.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Got the skater here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, there's me, a Scottish kid. Yeah.
In third grade, and why are you dressed like you're from Scotland?
Because this was a diversity play.
Oh yeah.
And And we all had to dress up like different cultures and shit.
Well, at least they didn't give you like Nigeria or something.
Yeah. Something. This is actually embarrassing. I'm putting this away.
Don't put it away, man. Who's gonna see it?
Okay.
I only described it to about 4,000 chimpians. That's all.
Oh.
Oh, man. I was driving through Georgia in late July on a day hot enough to make the I saw a homemade sign written in red, Ryan County Watermelon Festival ahead. Well, I wasn't in a hurry, so I slowed down, took a two-lane road to a one-horse town. There was a party going on. When I got there, I heard a welcome speech from a small-town man. Do the watermelon crawl. When the band started playing the Watermelon Queen, said, let me show you something that you ain't never seen. She grabbed me by the arm, said, come on, let's go. She dipped down, spun around, and do-si-do. She rocked back on her heels, dropped down to her knees, crawled across the floor. Jump back on her feet. She wiggled and she jiggled. Beat all you ever saw. Said this is how you do the watermelon crawl. She said we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. Help yourself to some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive. Do the watermelon crawl.
been a member of chimpout.com?
Not long at all, actually. I joined in January of this year. I remember I was looking up something on Google, something about racial intelligences, because I happened to come across a Hal Turner segment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, I came across a Hal Turner segment, and he was talking about something, and I thought, no, that's kind of interesting. I think I'll look up the differences between races. And believe it or not, I wasn't looking for that just to prove, oh, niggers are stupid, even though they are. I wasn't trying to do that.
Right.
It's not my intention. I was just trying to get some facts. It was something that Black Plague had posted.
Okay.
Something about the bell curve or something mm-hmm. like that. And I read it, and I was like, well, goddamn, you know, it was talking about niggers in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, near retarded IQs.
Of course.
And then you look at niggers in northern Africa, and I think it's only a little bit bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at niggers in America, and it's around 80. I think a white kid at age 12 has an IQ of 80.
About right, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is some pretty interesting stuff, you know. And I've always called people as I see them, and unfortunately, the majority of niggers that I've seen in the news and in person and everywhere I go, I don't have any good thing to say about them. I don't.
So you're not a racist, you're just honest.
Pretty much. I think I'm in the same boat as majority of chimpers. And I tell you this, it really was an awakening moment. It was an epiphany, really. And I when I started clicking around Chimp App, I was like, wow, look at all this. Mm-hmm. And I went to Nigger Crime, I went to SNB,
yeah.
I went to all this, I don't know, horrific crimes. I mean,
yeah,
torture, rape, and dog rape. I mean, shit that white people just don't do.
Right.
I mean, we just don't do that shit.
Right.
Really, really sick shit. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and sign up. I'm going to sign up and mm-hmm. put my own spin on things, tell my story, how I kind of woke up. And for those of you who hadn't heard it, I made the mistake of about 3 years ago. I went into business with a nigger. Yeah, I did it. And
was it a crack business or a prostitution business? Carjacking?
It was sales, not sales of crack, but it was sales of... it was sales of knockoff bathroom products.
Okay.
And, you know, it was kind of weird, you know, I've never met a nigger that bathed or, you know...
Right.
Just dumped about 2 gallons of Old Spice on them and they're good to go. But
yeah.
I opened this business and my father was like I said, my father passed 2 years ago. He was very sick. So I took the weekend off to go to Oklahoma to see how my father was doing, and he died while I was there. So, you know, I was like, well, damn, that sucks. And I get back on the plane to California. I get on the phone with this nigger, Ivan. I'm like, okay, well, I'm coming back to California. He's like, all right, man, all right, I'll see you when you're going back. And so I'm sorry about your day. And I'm like, yeah. I hang up and I fly back. And I come back to my office in the middle of the day, and it was locked. And I was like, that's weird. So I call Ivan, no answer. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to go home. I'll come back the next day. I come back the next day. Fucking place is cleaned out, long story short. Fucking place cleaned out. And because of that dirty, rotten, fucking shit-skinned motherfucker, I lost everything at the time that was precious to me. Huge screen TV, a baseball card collection I've been working on since I was 5, a bunch of family pictures, some stuff my dad gave me, and he had just passed away. I lost lots of money, obviously, lots of time, it was awful. It was just totally fucking, it was the worst moment of my life. I struggle to think of anything worse that's happened to me than that. And it was brought upon by a fucking nigger.
Right. So, but you learn an important lesson, and it's better that you learn that when you're in your early 20s than never learn it at all.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Never are you going to trust a nigger.
I have to be retarded. No,
right,
never,
exactly.
Never, never, never.
Now, some people never learn that. There are, we call them libtards for a reason. They just will never get it.
Well, they don't get it until they end up raped with their daughter ends up raped, or their wife ends up raped with her panties around her ankles, face down in a dumpster. You know, that's right. The sad truth. The reality is they don't get, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on me, or shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, shame on me. And I'm not gonna, you know, my mom didn't raise any fools, so no, never again am I gonna do something like that. That was terrible. That was a very sad chapter in my life that I not only trusted a nigger, but I paid for it dearly. And I urge everybody who's listening, chimpers and non-chimpers, you know, I ask that you learn the lesson not as hard as I learned it.
Right.
You know, and not, and don't, you know, don't, the not to the, you know, to the extent and to the extent. The expense the price I paid.
So it was a sad chapter in your life, but it was the beginning of a new, much happier chapter, if you want to look at it that way.
I suppose so, because I really started to wake up then. I really started to wake up that it's just a sad fact of life that niggers are more likely to be con artists and liars.
Sure.
And thieves. Any chance they get to, you know, take what you have,
they'll take it.
Right,
and they'll think that they're entitled to it.
Yeah, I'm sure that this buck thought that I, you know, owed him something, and you know,
sure.
and if I knew where he was, I would have sued or something to get it back. But who knows? But if I see him again, I know we don't advocate violence, but I can't be held responsible for what I do. I'm pretty sure it would get me 20 years.
Yeah.
So you know, I'll stop there.
Yeah.
My avatar is a little nigglet with a mud phone saying, I has a phone.
Where did you find that?
I think I found that on 4chan, actually. I think that's a chanter. You know, that's another Bormanol troll once in a while. It was just funny, but you know. But I found that picture there, and I was like, oh, great.
You know, I found some of my photoshops from Chimp Out have ended up on 4chan. I've seen them in videos on YouTube too. I'm like, hey, I made that.
The majority of the ridiculous nigger photos that have been photoshopped, from what I hear, come from Chimp Out.
They do. I know they do.
Yeah, and my signature is a very inspirational quote from Mahatma Gandhi and from former President Woodrow Wilson, both warning of the feral nigger savage.
Yeah.
So,
sadly, not enough people have listened to those two wise men.
Nope.
But people listen to us two wise men on Chimp Out Radio.
Absolutely.
We'll be back right after this.
Think twice.
Think twice.
Before you say yes.
Think twice before you answer. Think twice before you say yes. You know, I know y'all saying yes and that. Look at this fool. Got this watermelon here. The reason why I say think twice is because, give me a little air. Give me a little air, y'all. The reason why I say think twice is because I just can't understand how we as black people start eating watermelon in the closet. Lord have mercy. This is called the heart. You know, it makes me feel so bad sometimes when I see my black brothers and sisters, and they'll see me eating a piece of watermelon like this here. When they're gonna frown their faces, I mean, that's despicable. But it's good. And you know the thing that makes me mad? When I go to their parties, they will take a big, pretty watermelon like this and cut all kinds of gadgets and then cut the inside. You see this good piece of watermelon here? Cut all the guts out that good watermelon and mix it up and mess it up with something else. Man, sometimes they got a notion to put liquor in it. And then after they cut them little crevices in it, then put it back. Man, that's a waste of watermelon when all you got to do with it is pick it up like it's here. Look here, just pick it up like it's here. Don't mess this up. I whack my eyes up. Well, that's the way you eat a watermelon. Now, I don't care if you're a PhD, if you're a whale, you can't tell me cutting all that out, putting it back in there. That's the way you eat a watermelon.
You're listening to Chimp Out Radio with Birdman and DJ Stupnik. If you like what you hear and want to get more episodes, go to the forums at chimpout.com. Registration only takes a moment, and it's free.
So I left American Apartheid's house, and I am now back in the studio with my good friend, Mr. Birdman, and...
Bird, I think you have a pretty appropriate news article for the watermelon episode, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It perhaps explains why niggers rape everything that moves. article posted by Exorcist, watermelon has same effect as Viagra. Yeah. You know what? I've been hearing commercials on the radio at night about these pills that you can buy. It's like concentrated watermelon. You can use it for erectile dysfunction. So apparently, private industry has picked up on this. Watermelon has same effect as Viagra. Eating watermelon has similar effect on body as to Viagra, according to researchers in the United States. It's down to a chemical called citrulline, which is found in the juicy fruit. Citrulline is an organic compound which affects the body's blood vessels in the same way as the sex enhancement pills. It helps relax blood vessels, which means blood gets around the body more easily. Research comes from the U.S. Texas Fruit and Vegetable Improvement Center. So, this is out of Texas.
It really is coming out of Texas? I would have thought it would have come out of, like, Detroit.
Washington, D.C., maybe.
Washington.
Dr. Bimu Patil led the research. He said, "We've always known that watermelon is good for you, but the list of its very important healthful benefits grows longer with each study. Watermelon may not be as organ-specific as Viagra, but it's a great way to relax blood vessels without any drug side effects."
But it's a great way. It's a great way to rape somebody if you're over the 45.
It's also claimed watermelons are good for your heart and immune system. The vast majority of watermelon, 92%, is made up of water, hence the name. But the remaining 8% is loaded with the antioxidant lycopene, which is good for your skin. So not only do niggers now have an excuse for raping everything, but they have an excuse for their beautiful black skin as well.
Yeah, that's why I gotta eat this watermelon for my skin. You understand?
So it ain't my fault I raped them 10 people. I was just eating some watermelon, and, you know, one thing lead to other, you know what I'm saying? So I'm waiting for a court case to come up where some nigger's been charged with 16 counts of rape, and he uses watermelon as an excuse.
The watermelon defense.
It wasn't me, officer. It was the watermelon. Oh, my goodness. This might be on purpose, I'm starting to think. With all the nigger lovers in this country, you know, I don't know if this doctor is creating an excuse for niggers or what. But... Oh, my goodness.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a liberal
conspiracy. Yeah, the white man be giving us the watermelon. That's why we go out and rape everything.
That's so he can throw us in prison. It's the white man's juju.
Normally, I wouldn't go after goats and sheep, but I, you know, every time I eat the watermelon, those goats be looking sexy and shit.
I wonder if there's an antidote. You know, what would niggers hate to eat that would be like the opposite of eating watermelon?
Broccoli, cauliflower, carrots. You know, anything that's really good for you.
Yeah, okay, so vegetables would be like the anti-watermelon.
Oh, man, I'm suing the broccoli industry because I got the sexual dysfunction, you know what I'm saying? I'd be suing and shit. Get me a big settlement.
Get right.
Like the flowers in your garden, watermelon nights are here to sing along. Watermelon nights are racing, all the teardrops on your face. Watermelon nights will be gone before too long.
All right, so I'm here to talk to y'all about stereotypes. Chicken and Kool-Aid, just gonna be honest with y'all. why does every time, you know, felt like a black person in particular, you know what I'm saying, they always be like, man, I'm hungry. And somebody is always that ignorant person, one out of five people, that say, why don't y'all go get some chicken and Kool-Aid? Man, black people don't like chicken and Kool-Aid all the time. You don't always eat that. You like cornbread, too.
Well, who'd have thought that we'd have more than one watermelon article, but Bert, you pulled up a doozy, didn't you?
Yeah, this comes from the Huffington Post, one of the more liberal papers that are out there. White House watermelon email from California Mayor Dean Gross inspires outrage. And this looks like some picture that Chimpout made or one of our competitors made. It's a picture of the White House with a bunch of watermelons growing on the front lawn. Yeah, I'm willing to bet it's one of ours. But this comes the mayor of Los Alamitos coming under fire for an email he sent out that depicts the White House lawn planted with watermelons under the title "No Easter Egg Hunt This Year." Local business. This woman and city volunteer Kianis Price. That's a nigger.
Gee, I wonder, do you think that's a nigger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says here, who is black, said Tuesday. She received the email from Mayor Dean Gross's personal account on Sunday and wants a public apology.
I demand a public apology. I'm a child.
I'd be outraged.
I'd be outraged. I'm entitled to it and everything.
And the Sheboon goes on to say, I have had plenty my share of chicken and watermelon and all those kind of jokes, Price told the Associated Press. I honestly don't even understand where he is coming from sending this to me. As a black person receiving something like this from the city freaking mayor, come on. The Orange County Register first reported the email on its website Tuesday night. Gross confirmed to the Associated Press that he sent the email to Price and said he didn't mean to offend her. He said that he was unaware of the racial stereotype that black people like watermelon.
Right. I didn't do nothing. I didn't know that. What? Huh? Oh, my gosh.
It gets better. He said he and Price are friends and youth board. Bottom line is we laugh at things, and I didn't see this in the same light that she did. Of course, because niggers are offended by everything.
Of course.
I'm sorry. It wasn't sent to offend her personally or anyone from the standpoint of the African-American race. Gross?
Right.
Gross, who became mayor in December, said he sent the apology email to Price, and her boss also left her a voicemail apology. Regardless, Price said it would be difficult to for the two to work together. Oh, man.
Wow.
Now, Sheboon says again, now I am like, wow, is this really how he feels, Price said. Los Alamitos is a 2 1/4 square mile Orange County city of around 12,000 people. The mayor is elected by fellow members of the 5-seat city council, so he's not going to be lasting very long. as soon as the Negroes get offended by something and start beating their chests and racist and shit, yeah, his political career, I'm sorry to say, it's over.
Howdy there, Shook.
Top of the morning to you, Jive.
Boy, you know this show is a good ditty right here.
Massa gonna love us.
Mmm. You know I was hungry. What should we eat?
Some of that good old watermelon.
Oh, yeah. Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely is good.
Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
T.
Okay.
E-R.
What's next?
Melon. Watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely is good.
Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely is good.
Hey there, Shook.
Yeah, Jack.
I think it's time to break it on down.
This watermelon ain't gonna eat itself.
Ham bone, ham bone, ham bone, where you at? Ham bone, ham bone, ham bone, where you at?
Massa is coming. Massa is coming. Massa is coming.
Shh. Hide the watermelon.
Hide quick.
Chimp Out Radio, Radio, for your inner chimp.
love letters on Chimp Out Radio. Bird, do we have a love letter?
Yeah. Yes, we do tonight. It's a real quick one, and this person signed in as Right Wing Lunatic, and the post was called White Niggers,
okay.
And it goes as such, hey, inbreds. Here's a scholarly article linking American whites to Africa. Since I'm sure at least one of you idiots know that all blood leads to Africa. So that makes you all niggers. Ha! Enjoy the scholarly article. The words might be too big for most of you, if not all, but bear with it. And he gives this link, and then he goes on and says, oh, here's my picture. Come and find me.
Oh, okay.
Looking for a little bit of attention there. I'm guessing this is a wigger and a nigger lover.
And, I think.
You know, it's, you know, my feelings are really hurt. He called us inbreds.
That's really hurtful.
Yeah. Man, I cried when I read this article.
Yeah. I'm going to lose a lot of sleep tonight.
Yeah. Wow. It's, I mean, this is, I swear, this is the first time somebody called us a bunch of inbreds.
Huh. What did he say? All blood comes from Africa?
Yeah, I suppose that he believes that, humans evolved from the chimps known as niggers, and we all moved. See, you know, even if that were true, you know, see, what happened was, is the niggers, not being very ambitious and all, they stayed in sub-Saharan Africa to get into fights and throw coconuts at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the humans decided, hey, there's a better life up north, and they crossed the Sahara Desert and moved into all the different continents over thousands of years. And the niggers just stayed there and, you know, wiped their asses with their hands and didn't really invent anything, never domesticated any animals. And to this day, they're still making their houses out of shit and weeds.
But, you know, I heard someplace that it was actually the Europeans that taught them how to make huts.
That very well could be. You know, maybe the Europeans went back into Middle Ages and decided to, you know, that's the word I'm looking for. Humanitarian, so to speak, and to teach them actually, hey, you don't have to sleep out under the stars. You can actually build a house and a pit latrine.
So that was like the first nigger housing project.
Yeah, I suppose.
The white people said, here, we'll build you a nice, beautiful hut. And then like 2 weeks later, it was all nigger fuxated.
Well, I'm sure they went down and they said, well, you know, you really don't have to run from the lions and the hyenas. You can build a house to protect yourself from them.
Yeah. So maybe the Department of HUD was originally called the Department of Hut.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So this has been an interesting and very informative love letter segment.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I just really can't believe these enablers, you know, saying that, you know, we're all evolved from the nigger. I mean, it's so utterly impossible if you think about it, if you really sit there and think about it. But these enablers really don't think, they feel. They feel that they came from niggers, and they have all kinds of emotional feelings about how niggers and us are the same thing, you know.
But you know what's funny is if we evolved from niggers, then it's like they're admitting that we're entirely different things, that the nigger is inferior and that we evolved from it to a higher level.
Yeah, but they really don't make the connection.
No.
You know, even if we did evolve from niggers, at least we evolved.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so...
I mean, we... You know, they went, the Chinese, you know, humans spread throughout the world. The Chinese invented many, many things. Arabs invented, you know, modern mathematics and
sure.
calendars and such. And the Europeans, you know, hey, Europeans have a lot of inventions to their
yes.
credit. But, you know, you go down to Africa and it's like mud huts, showering in cow piss, constant civil wars that last for decades, if not centuries, cannibalism, you know, all the niceties that, you know, Africans enjoy in their daily lives.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking about this today, Bert. You know how niggers always walk down the middle of the street?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a perfectly good sidewalk, but they're always walking in the middle of the street. And yeah. I was thinking, you know, that's probably a throwback to their times in Africa where they just walk down the middle of the animal trails.
Yeah, of course.
They don't have cars in Africa. You know, they don't, I mean, like in their native habitat, they don't have automobiles. They don't have to worry about traffic. You just walk down the trail right in the middle.
I just think that's really the niggers' compulsion to get on Whitey's nerves at all points in time.
That's true, too.
You know, they really, if they strive for anything and if they're ambitious about anything, it's getting on Whitey's nerves.
Mm-hmm. And they're good at it, too.
Well, that's it for this episode of Chimp Out Radio. Had a lot of fun. Special thanks goes out to American Apartheid for letting me stay at his place and showing me around. Thanks also to Bebok Boer, also known as Evil Hobo, for joining us tonight and giving us a status update on South Africa. Unfortunately, things at the job in Houston did not work out, and I wound up leaving, which means I'm back on the road. Chimp Out GTFO Tour 2010 continues. Stay tuned. 2 weeks from today, we're going to talk to Pazuzu in Arizona, and we're going to visit Wild Trout in California, and we're also going to talk to Mr. O'Aders in Bakersfield himself. That's right. We're going to have a lot of fun. So, champions, definitely stay tuned, because there's a whole lot more cool stuff coming up. We're also going to have more love letters for you, and we didn't even get to the top 10 this week, so we're going to do that next show. Top 10, reading the top 10 next week will be Nut Nice himself, so definitely stay tuned. And if you live in the Pacific Northwest and you would like to be on Chimp Out Radio, private message me, DJ Stupnig, and if I'm in your town, I will stop in and you can hear yourself on Chimp Out Radio. Until then, chimpers, be proud of yourselves. And don't take any shit from any niggers.